Socialism is gaining a lot of popularity. Blows my mind because logically and historically it's foolish, but it's gaining popularity among millennials. So there's this really interesting article from PJ Media that 7 questions for young socialists. And I think this is important to talk about because it's political, but it also has to do with Christianity and, with spreading the gospel to people, because there are people that'll say, well, Jesus was a socialist, Jesus, all ridiculous. No. But it's important to know how to challenge these ideas. And these ideas are pretty simple to challenge, which makes it easier for us. So seven questions because in the past several years, it seemed that like socialism, which is the ever increasing control of a strong central government over the means of production and distribution, it's become a lot more appealing to young people in the U.S. And a lot of them proudly call themselves socialist, which is foolish. Self-proclaimed socialist Bernie Sanders had no trouble gathering huge crowds of people during his presidential campaign. And of course, Antifa riots, there's plenty of red flags being waved around by so-called protesters, and sometimes with a hammer and sickle emblazoned on the flag. So since socialism, including its more tyrannical forms, communism, fascism, and Nazism, has become more appealing to young people in the United States today, there's some serious questions that we should know in order, you can actually teach if they're willing to learn. A lot of them are young, but if they're willing to learn, you can actually teach them something, or at least challenge their ideas to where they have to realize, oh, I don't have an answer for this. For example, one question is, how much of what I earn belongs to you and why? So if you're an able-bodied person, why should you be able to live at other people's expenses? And what moral authority do you have to justify your actions? What would you think if I were to go door to door and ask people to contribute to my bank account or my retirement? And yet plenty of people do this every day, expecting others to hand over their hard-earned money to a benevolent government, which then supposedly fairly redistributes income to others as they deem are worthy. But how does a government of bureaucrats know how to do this fairly and justly? Where do such geniuses come from, and how can we find them? So another one, too. Second question, what economic theory has lifted more people out of poverty than any other? Which one? Hint, capitalism. But no, when you look at the history, I wasn't like making fun. It is capitalism. But when you look at the history of America and compare it with other nations in the past 400 to 500 years, you see a really interesting phenomenon. America, in contrast to all other nations, has not had a famine since the days of the pilgrims. We've had hard times, sure, we've had Great Depression and stuff like that. There have been people have gotten pretty hungry, like the Native Americans on reservations and prisoners in the Civil War, Donner Party, stuff like that. But Americans have not had a famine in which thousands or millions of people have actually starved to death. The Soviet Union did for a few years, as in Soviet-occupied Ukraine, where on purpose to eliminate enemies, that happened. China, now under the leadership Mao Zedong, had a massive famine and a great leap forward. And New York Times published an article about how Mao's collectivism, has killed millions. North Korea had a devastating famines in the 1990s, and Venezuela today can barely feed its own people. But America feeds its own people, maybe a little too much even, and it sells or donates extra food around the world to feed others. So in America, we have no shortage of orange juice, shoes, cell phones, all this stuff. And it's because of capitalism. So there's videos where like Milton Friedman explains how capitalism and free markets are the best answer to poverty, as has been proven throughout history. Third question, what economic theory has spawned the deadliest and most repressive regimes in history? Now, this, of course, is where we'll come up against the abysmal lack of education among many young people. And, you could have a discussion with a Bernie supporter, and they might not even know what Nazism is, or that Nazism is just another form of socialism. And, a lot of them will disagree with that. But Nazi is an abbreviation for National Socialist German Workers' Party. It was Hitler's government-owned aspect of German life, and he dictated to the industrialists exactly what they should produce, how much, whom it should go. So it's certainly a command and control socialist government. So four, why do you believe that other people can take care of you and spend your money better than you can? You know, that's an important question. I mean, seriously, why would anyone believe that a bureaucrat in central government office somewhere can take care of you better than you can yourself? You know, why would you want a strong centralized government picking the winners and losers in life? Is it because our government has done such a good job in spending us into $20 trillion worth of debt over the past 16 years? Or is it because the Pentagon gets so much good deals for weapon systems and toilet seats and never waste a penny? Is it because the government healthcare is so efficient in seeing and treating people successfully? You know, take a look at the VA and the implosion of the Affordable Care Act before President Trump was elected. Take a look at insurance companies that are withdrawing coverage, premiums that are skyrocketing, people that are getting kicked off of their health insurance plans as a direct result of the ACA, and that you know, these government geniuses fixed our health insurance and healthcare problems is just a ridiculous premise. So what about the welfare state? You know, the government sure does a great job in eliminating or reducing poverty. But, you know, since the creation of President Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty in 64, our federal government has spent $22 trillion. And for that amount of money, we could have cut a check for hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars years to everyone at the poverty level, and have done away with poverty altogether through that, if we just bought them food. But we didn't. So how successful was the war on poverty? How successful has it been? For all the money that it spent, it's not even put a dent in poverty. And in fact, a good case could be made that our government has destroyed families and permanently hooked entire generations of Americans on the government dole. So, you know, ask yourself, when was the last time the federal government took over a business or industry, ran it efficiently, and lowered costs? You know, that's why capitalism is awesome. That's why the free market is the solution to poverty. Number five, why must I do with less through tax increases, but government must never do with less money? So just talk about eliminating a completely unnecessary and wasteful department like the U.S. Department of Education, and listen to how people will get really upset about that. I mean, how did we ever educate our kids before the federal government got involved? So, you know, of course, it's easy to grow weary of any time like a politician will say of tax cuts. Well, how will the government pay for this? As though the thought never occurred to anyone. Maybe the government can cut some stuff, you know, like the DOE or anything that has to do with the environment. Just get rid of it. Why does the government have first claim on every penny that I make? And why is it that they think they have all the money first and then graciously let me have some at the end of the day? You know, whose money is it? Really? Number six, what is a living wage and who defines it? So if socialists are complaining how the minimum wage should be $15 an hour, why shouldn't it be 16? Or just go for broke, demand $20 per hour salary. What about $50 per hour? You know, seriously, why not these prices? Why 15? Take a look at how well this has panned out in Seattle lately. There's a report from Washington Post that talks about that you can look up. I mean, it was no surprise to conservative and libertarian economists that predicted that businesses would cut hours and lay off workers to make ends meet. But what is the necessity of a minimum wage anyway? So there's a lot of interesting stuff out there from noted economists such as Walter Williams versus former Charlie Rangel that people can look up. But yeah, I mean, if you heighten the minimum wage, then you're going to bring machines in and you're going to have less employees. So you got more poverty. And finally, why is it unfair or immoral for people who are smarter, who have a better work ethic, who are honest and thrifty, to do better than others in life? If someone is making more money than you and they earned it through honest hard work, why would somebody be angry and believe that you or that they deserve a chunk of what we earned? You know, if I work really hard, make a lot of money, why should somebody who doesn't think that they get any of that? Now, I could, out of the goodness of my heart, donate to somebody and help out charitably, and I do that quite often. But that's different than somebody who's not working or doesn't have a good work ethic to that the government's going to come in and take my money and give it to them. Now, of course, we ask this because, you know, when we talk to self-professing socialists, we hear like a lot of greed. You know, the rich or anybody that makes a certain line that they artificially draw are automatically bad somehow. They shouldn't make that much money, but you know, why? Why not? So if somebody really believes that the rich need to cough up more money to be redistributed to others, why not just be honest and advocate seizing all of their money and property? Now, that wouldn't be greedy, would it? Of course it would. But, you know, of course, you can only do that one time because the rich would not have any property or money left. So, these millennial arguments about the pros of socialism are not rooted in anything real, and they're really easy to dismantle. And again, it's immoral and it's evil. That's where the Christianity aspect comes in. That's where if you evangelize and make disciples of all nations, teach them what evil is. If they already know what evil is, then they can look at things like socialism, fascism, Nazism, you know, all these things and realize, oh, that is evil. I know what that looks like because I read it in my Bible. Okay. If you haven't had a chance to do so, head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com. Donate if you can. That would be great. Or if you can only do like a dollar or a couple dollars a month, you can go to patreon.com/joshpeck. All that being said, thank you so much. Love you all. Till next time, take care and God bless.
Hey, everybody, I have decided to start a Patreon site, and I'm very excited about it because this offers you at least one more avenue that can get us away from the YouTube and AdSense and all that ridiculousness that struggles so hard to shut down Christian conservative speakers such as myself. So if you want to help out, please consider becoming one of my patrons. That would be great. Now, it's only because of all of you guys that I've been able to continue doing this all these years. But those of you who are brand new, I cover things from a Christian conservative perspective, as I said before, but we also deal with some fringe topics, such as aliens, UFOs, ghosts, paranormal things. We deal with some things from the political realm, such as Second Amendment and First Amendment rights, things like that. But most importantly, we deal with the gospel of Jesus Christ, how best to present this information to friends who might not be believers. How do we talk to one another about these things? Well, we deal with all that, and I always take questions. I always take feedback. I always take advice, especially from my supporters. So if you haven't had a chance, go to my Patreon site, which is patreon.com/Josh Peck, very easy to remember, and consider becoming a patron for as little as a dollar a month. That is nothing. And it would greatly help me out. It'll help you out. And as I always say, when we come together as a community, we can build something amazing together. So let's do that. Thank you so much. And until next time, take care and God bless.